Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Jesus 911, Soul Patrol, one-man car. My name's Jesse Romero. I'm 10-8 on duty for the Lord Jesus Christ in the service of the Holy, the Blessed Virgin Mary and under the patronage of St. Michael the Archangel. You know, as we look at what's happening in our culture, our societies with this Wuhan communist Chinese virus, we also seem to forget that there are other things happening around the world. One of the things is this nonstop persecution of Christians by Islam, and especially in countries under Sharia law. And we seem to forget, we're just so focused on, I can't go out to the movies, I can't go out to the fitness gym, I can't go out to the barber. And we forget that there's bigger problems around the world in many other countries that have been going on for a long time. I want to put a spotlight, and I'm going to quote two scholars of Islam. One is named Raymond Ibrahim, and I'll give you his credentials, and Robert Spencer. I'm going to spend this program talking about the dangers of Islam. And they play on our ignorance, essentially. A lot of us as Catholics, we've fallen into, you know, political correctness, and we've taken the term religious liberty to mean something that it doesn't mean, that it means, oh, religious liberty means we don't evangelize. No, that's wrong. Religious liberty never means we delete the words of Jesus Christ, who told us to evangelize. By the way, my partner Ruben is he's out today. He's out with his father. His father took ill. So I just want to pray for Mr. Nava in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit that Mr. Nava has received in baptism and the sacraments, I ask you, Lord, that you give him comfort and peace and rest in this time right now of illness. And Lord, if it's according to your holy will, we ask you for full healing in Jesus' name through Mary's intercession. If that's according to your divine will, we pray this, Lord, and just give the family strength. And in this time, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Okay, so what does Islam actually mean? Islam was started in 610 A.D. And it was started by somebody named Muhammad. Okay? Islam is an Arabic word. What does Islam mean in Arabic? It means submission to the will of God. Submission to the will of God. That's what Islam means. Muslim is a related word that roughly translates as one who submits. That's what Muslim means. One who submits to Allah and his will. So a Muslim then is somebody who believes in Islam. Muslims are about 20% of the world's population. One out of five people in the world is a Muslim. Islam is the national religion in over 25 countries. So let's take a look at what Raymond Ibrahim says. And Robert Spencer, these are two experts on Islam. These are what I would call the go-to guys if you want to know about Islam. Raymond Ibrahim, the scholar, he talks about the politically incorrect history of Islam. And Raymond Ibrahim, in an interview he did, he covers the 7th century origins of Islam. That's when it started, the 7th century. And he talks about its conflicts with Christianity over the centuries and the way the liberals, the historical liberals called revisionists, they're always attempting to deny Islam's history of violent warfare and supremacism, especially in the universities here in this country. And a lot of the reasons why a lot of the major universities, they deny the supremacism and the violent warfare tactics of Islam is because a lot of our colleges have a lot of Muslim students. And even some of our colleges get grants from the Middle East to set up Middle East departments. And so this is the infiltration of our educational system by a lot of these jihadists who are using the education to give revisionist history. So this Middle East scholar, Raymond Ibrahim, he was allowed to give a speech mostly to a packed civilian audience at the U.S. Army War College and Education Center. He wrote a book. It's called Sword and Scimitar, 14 Centuries of War Between Islam and the West. And in this book, Raymond Ibrahim, he covers the 7th century origins of Islam, which are bloody. He talks about its conflict with Christianity during the hundreds of years that followed. We would call those the Crusades. Then he talks about the revisionist attempts to deny Islam's history of violent warfare and supremacy over and above any religion. Now, Raymond Ibrahim, he's a Judith Friedman Rosen Writing Fellow with the Middle Eastern Forum. And he had a hard time by CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, and other Islamists. They were trying to convince the U.S. Army War College to disinvite Ibrahim from his appearance. They were fallaciously accusing Ibrahim of being a bigot and a white nationalist. He's actually the son of Egyptians. But Ibrahim wasn't alone. In a press release, CARE, which is a propaganda piece for terrorists, the Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE ridiculed the Army War College as an academic institution run on taxpayer funds that was poised to exacerbate long-standing problems such as racism and human rights violations that exist within the U.S. military. Ibrahim and his defended himself, Raymond Ibrahim, this Islamic scholar, he explained that CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, is well aware how important it is to dominate the historic narrative. And Ibrahim pointed to his reliance on primary source material, and he actually quotes from jihadists and Islamists to support his view that there's a continuity between past and present. Muslim religious leaders and jihadists see Christianity as both antithetical to the Islamic world and inherently ripe for conquest or conversion. But it took a letter signed by 10 congressmen to the Army War College Commandant, Major General John Kern, as well as the National Association of Scholars letter to President Trump that included 5,000 signatories to convince the Army leaders to reinstate Raymond Ibrahim's invitation. And when CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, when they learned that Raymond Ibrahim was set to return to the Carlisle campus to speak at the Army War College, it responded by once again suggesting that the Army War College suffers from an internal problem with white supremacists and white nationalists within its ranks, while claiming that Ibrahim's talk would instigate hatred against Muslims. So CARE is trying to use the tactic of shaming, trying to use a tactic of demonizing and ad hominem attacks against those you disagree with. But thanks be to God that Raymond Ibrahim, he was undeterred by his Islamic critics, and he began his presentation by saying that since 9/11, it's become very popular for the media and academia to whitewash the Quran's objectionable passages. They say Muhammad may have done some bad things, but then Muslims will say, well, but so did King David and so did Abraham. The difference, Raymond Ibrahim notes, is that the Torah acknowledges the wayward path of these leaders and advises against following them, unlike the Quran. For argument's sake, Raymond Ibrahim offered to put aside what the Quran says and see what Islamists have done. Beginning with the Islamic conquest of the Middle East and North Africa, Raymond Ibrahim argues that the Islamists' consistent goal has been Western submission to Islamic supremacy. this region, the Middle East, North Africa, which is identified today as a Muslim majority, was home to more Christians than Europe in the 7th century. But what remained after the Arab Muslim invasion became the West. Raymond Ibrahim quoted a historian, Franco Cardini, who wrote that, quote, repeated Muslim aggression against Europe in the 7th and 8th centuries, and again in the 14th and 18th centuries, was a violent midwife to Europe. Even Bernard Lewis, the late historian of Islam, he said, quote, we forget that for 1,000 years since the advent of Islam, from the 7th century to the siege of Vienna in 1683, Christian Europe was under constant threat from Islam, and the double threat of conquest and conversion violently was taken away from Christendom. Ibrahim also noted that modern historians often fail to acknowledge this simple truth. My name is Jesse Romero. We're taking a look at Islam. I know right now so many people are focused on the Wuhan virus. And we're taking our eyes off of what's happening in the Middle East, consistently what's happening in North Africa, with the persecution of Christians under Islamic rule. So I'm quoting two scholars today, and they're giving us an analysis of what's been ongoing since the 7th century. My name is Jesse Romero, listening to Jesus 911. Like what you hear, send this to somebody, like us. Send it off to somebody.
Jesus said in Matthew 26, "Stay awake and pray that you may not enter into temptation." According to Saint Ephrem, Jesus, who feared nothing, experienced fear and asked to be freed from death, although he knew it was impossible. How much more must we persevere in prayer before temptation assails us, so that we may be freed when the test has come? May God grant that we may withstand temptation and carry out His will in all things.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, Soul Patrol. My name is Jesse Romero, One Man Car. Psalm 89, today at Holy Mass, was prayed, "Forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord. Through all generations, my mouth shall proclaim your faithfulness." Hallelujah. My name is Jesse Romero, Jesus 911, One Man Car. We're talking about the bloody borders that exist within Islam. Islam's a religion and a civilization with bloody borders. Muhammad was a warlord who rose from obscurity and who in his lifetime he conquered the Arabian Peninsula. And the book that he produced, the Quran, it's filled with all kinds of commands to use violence in the service of its religion and nation. I'll give you, for example, I'll give you two chapters of the Quran. They call the chapters surahs in Arabic. I'll give you Surah chapter 9, verse 5. Here's what it says regarding non-Muslims. It says, quote, "Slay the idolaters wherever you find them. Arrest them, besiege them, and lie in ambush everywhere for them. If they repent and take to prayer and render the alms levy, allow them to go on their way. God is forgiving and merciful." Close quote. So this Surah chapter 9, verse 5, this amounts to giving non-Muslims a convert or die opportunity. Convert to Islam or die. What about Surah 929? In the Quran, it calls for violence to be used against the Jews and Christians unless they're willing to pay a special tax and live in subjugation to Muslims as second-class citizens. Yep, Surah 929, once again, gives a non-Muslim the choice of convert, die, or live in subjection. Of the three great major religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, Islam has the greatest tendency to violence, as illustrated by the first century of its existence, when the Islamic Empire conquered much of the known world. And it's remarkable that so many people are ignorant, even within our own church, about this history concerning the aggressive expansion of Islam. I mean, let's just be honest. There's been outright hostility that has indeed existed between Muslims and Christians for the simple reason that for 13 centuries, Islam grew and spread by war, plunder, and pillaging and enslavement of people throughout the Christian Middle East and throughout Christian North Africa. Raymond Ibrahim, he says that Muhammad's guidance to spread Islam was the motivation behind the Islamic conquest. And the only way that peace could be achieved was through acceptance of Islam by conversion, enslavement, or paying the jizya tax, which is an enormous annual tribute that the caliphate levied on non-Muslims and basically kept you in poverty. But short of these options, a non-believer's only recourse was to fight to the death. And Raymond Ibrahim, this Islamic scholar, an expert on the Middle East, he quotes what Islamist conqueror Khalid bin Walid said to a Byzantine general before the Battle of Yarmouk in 636 AD. He says, quote, "We Arabs are in the habit of drinking blood, and we are told the Romans are the sweetest of its kind. Where you love life, we love death." Close quote. That says it all. That's the Islamic jihadist mentality right there. Unlike modern historians who identify the various inter-civilizational wars of this age as ethnic and nationalistic, Raymond Ibrahim emphasized that the primary sources clearly show that these ongoing battles were manifestations of jihad, what they consider holy war through expansion and aggression, inspired by the Quran. And Ibrahim, he calls this tendency a historic fact that modern-day historians censor. You're not allowed to say this. You're not allowed to speak the truth about Islam. Because if you do, you get shamed as a hater. Raymond Ibrahim shows that modern jihadists belonging to groups such as ISIS and many other terrorist organizations, they're well-versed in Islamic historic military jurisprudence and the Quran, and they point to historical precedents to justify their violence and brutality using the tradition of Islam and the Quran. For example, at the fall of Constantinople, Sultan Mehmed II, he motivated his Islamic jihadists with the same instructions invoked by modern-day ISIS. He said this, quote, "Recall the promise of our prophet regarding fallen warriors in the Quran. The man who falls in combat will be transported bodily to paradise and will dine with Muhammad in the presence of women," close quote. Ibrahim, Raymond Ibrahim, also at the Army War College, he recounted to the audience the American experience with the Islamic Barbary pirates in 1785 and 1786 that attacked U.S. merchant ships and enslaved American sailors in an effort to ransom the slaves. Thomas Jefferson and John Adams entered negotiations with Abdul Rahman, Tripoli's ambassador to Britain, and the American diplomats futilely explained that they had done them no injury and consider all mankind our friends. Again, these American diplomats showed weakness, and Islam preys on weak men and weak nations and weak religions. So Abdul Rahman, Tripoli's ambassador, he answered that it was founded. He justified the Barbary pirates and their attack on American sailors and merchant ships. He said it was founded on the laws of their prophet Muhammad, written in the Quran, that all nations not acknowledging their authority were sinners. That it is the religious right and duty to make slaves of non-believers, and all Muslims slain in battle were sure to go to paradise. So America's conflict with Islam did not begin with 9/11. Rather, it dates back to the time of America's founders in this country. We already started having, at the founding of this country, within 20 years, we already started having problems with Islamic jihadists. And to underscore this message, Raymond Ibrahim, he cited Theodore Roosevelt's 1916 book. It's called Fear God and Take Your Part, where the former president pointed out, he said this, quote, "If the peoples of Europe in the 7th and 8th centuries and on up to including the 17th century had not possessed a military equality with and gradually a growing superiority over the Mohammedans who invaded Europe, Europe would at this moment be Mohammedan and the Christian religion would be exterminated," close quote. This was written by Theodore Roosevelt in 1916. And what about the great English statesman, Winston Churchill? He also criticized Islam for institutionalizing slavery. The fact is that in Islamic law, every woman is the absolute property of a man, of her husband. Also, the children, the wife, the concubine, they must delay the final extinction of slavery until the faith of Islam has ceased to be a great power amongst men. And Raymond Ibrahim, he also rhetorically asked, if the violent history of Islam is so well documented, so ironclad, then why don't we know about it? Why is this kept away from us in our textbooks at school, public school, college here in America? Older historians who studied Islam, unprejudiced by political correctness, they've reached conclusions that no longer comport with what the public is told. Conversely, modern historians get away with academic malpractice by reducing previous Islamic studies scholarships to outdated myths. This is called historical revisionism. And this is all part and parcel of what Raymond Ibrahim refers to as the propaganda as a form of jihad. Misinformation of which academics and groups such as CARE, the Council on American Islamic Foreign Relations, are the most vociferous defenders. Meanwhile, CARE is an unindicted co-conspirator in the nation's largest terrorist finance trial and an accused Hamas supporter engaged in propaganda jihad by working to suppress Ibrahim's historical review, a practice consistent with Islamist suppression of different religious beliefs. But in the end, thankfully, Raymond Ibrahim gave the Army service members in the community a coherent and fact-driven presentation of Islamic history that everyone in America should hear, one that dispels the many false, politically correct notions about the nature of Islam. It lays bare the inconvenient truth that Islamic ideology and the Quran is what motivates Muslim jihadists to perpetrate acts of terrorism against non-believers, both domestically and abroad. And as Catholics, our goal is to evangelize them. We must evangelize them. And I'll tell you, because they've accepted doctrines of demons. They have. Did you know that? I just tell people, think about this. If your religion condones that you can murder your own child, and it, like such as in Islam, what's known as honor killing, if your religion condones that you can beat your spouse, if your religion condones that you can keep slaves and rape those slaves, if your religion directs you to enact laws which prevent a child bride from divorcing her husband until she reaches puberty and encourages the death penalty for leaving that religion, guess then what? Then it may be fair to say that that religion is diabolical and insane. That's a fact. You know, Catholics, we were engaged in a holy war during the Crusades. It was a just war. Even St. Francis of Assisi backed up the Crusades. And why were we there? Well, the fact is, the sole aim of the Crusades for about eight centuries was primarily to reconquer Christian lands that were stolen by Muslim invaders. It was Islamic aggression known as jihad, which precipitated a Catholic response in these wars. And Catholics believe in conquering the world through evangelism, not war. My name is Jesse Romero. If you like what you hear, then like us. Subscribe to this show. Share it with others. Don't turn that dial. You don't want to miss what's up. Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com. and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year round.
buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm 89. There's another expert on Islam that I use all the time. His name's Robert Spencer. I've met him a couple of times. He's as good as Raymond Ibrahim. And I'm glad that we have these experts in Islam in the church to give us the accurate account of what's going on with jihadists around the world. But I'll tell you, one of the things that makes me sad is I'm reading this article that says Vatican's Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue urges Catholics to participate in Ramadan iftars. So what's an iftar? It's an evening meal that breaks each day's fast during Ramadan. It's the evening meal. The Vatican is urging Catholics to share Ramadan. I'm like saying, what? Are you kidding me? Have we forgot our history? Is this a way to evangelize? The article says, the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue is encouraging Christians to join in the Islamic iftar ritual meal on the occasion of the Muslim festival of Ramadan. In a Ramadan greeting to Muslim brothers and sisters Friday, the Vatican Dicastery, that's what they call the Muslim brothers and sisters, the Vatican Dicastery called upon Christians and Muslims to protect together mosques and churches and quoted the prophet Isaiah 56 verse 7, affirming that a place of worship of any religion, therefore it is a house of prayer. For us, your Christian friends, that's what Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue. Here's what the Vatican Dicastery further said. They said, for us, your Christian friends, it is a propitious time to further strengthen our relationships with you during Ramadan by greeting you, meeting you on this occasion, and where possible, by sharing an iftar with you, an evening meal. Well, we have our meal. It's a sacred meal that's been close to us. It's called the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Well, here's a Robert Spencer. He's a world-renowned Islamic scholar, and he's a Catholic. He's obviously disturbed by the Vatican's assumptions that arise from the Vatican II's declarations about Muslims together with us adoring the God of Abraham. Robert Spencer says that by participating in iftars, in these Islamic evening meals with Muslims, Christians are helping celebrate an imperative to conquer and subjugate them. Because the iftar is not just a meal. It's the breaking of the Ramadan fast every evening. Ramadan is the month devoted to intensifying one's observance of Islam and growing more righteous within Islam. In Islam, the most righteous deed of all is jihad, holy war, which most prominently involves warfare against and the subjugation of non-Muslims. There's a hadith, which is a teaching of Islam, that has a Muslim asking Muhammad in hadith chapter 4, 52.44, it says this, quote, a Muslim is asking Muhammad, quote, instruct me as to such a deed as equals jihad in reward. Muhammad replied, I do not find such a deed. Robert Spencer, he's explained, by the way, he's the best-selling author of a book called The History of Jihad from Muhammad to ISIS. And he's the historian in the Middle East. In an interview, he was also shocked by the Vatican drawing a parallel between the destruction of churches and mosques in this age or in any age. Robert Spencer says, such equivalence demonstrates historical illiteracy by that Vatican dicastery as throughout history, thousands, if not tens of thousands of churches have been turned into mosques in order to demonstrate the superiority of Islam over Christianity and the victory of Muslims over Christians. Doesn't the Vatican dicastery know this? Robert Spencer's continued. He said, look it, the foremost example of this is the Hagia Sophia in Istanbul, a once Catholic church of the Middle East, an Eastern Catholic church. Also, another example, the Umayyad Mosque, formerly the Cathedral of St. John the Baptist in Damascus, Syria. What about the Mosque of Cordoba in Spain? That might seem to be an equivalent example of a mosque that was converted into a church, but it's just a single example against a mountain of examples on the Islamic side. Islam explicitly proclaims that it is a true embodiment of Christ's teachings and that Christianity is illegitimate. And this has worked out for 1,400 years in the destruction or the conversion of Catholic churches. In this Ramadan statement, the Vatican recalled Pope Francis' words on a visit to Haydar Aliyev Mosque in Baku, Azerbaijan, in 2016. Pope Francis said, quote, meeting one another in fraternal friendship in this place of prayer is a powerful sign, one that shows the harmony which religions can build together based on personal relations and on the goodwill of those responsible. Close quote. But Robert Spencer, again, he's a Middle East historian. He criticized the pontiff's words as he said the following, quote, ignoring, as do all modern church statements about Islam, that religion's deeply embedded doctrines that completely delegitimize Christianity and call for warfare against Christians and those of other faiths with mosques as the base of operations. This is why, Robert Spencer says, and the FBI confirms this, law enforcement confirms this, this is why we've seen weapons stockpiled in so many mosques around the world. Pointing out that the Pope, Robert Spencer says, the Pope would do well to consider who exactly is being worshipped in the mosques. Think about this. When Muslims have so very often, in so many countries, come out of Friday prayers and violently attack non-Muslims, cut their head off and hang them or shoot them. You have to ask yourself, as Robert Spencer quite correctly asks, who are they worshiping in the mosque? But as always, such incidents of which there are so many, they're completely ignored in Rome these days. And that's, I lament that. That makes me very sad just to see that we see this complete denial of the facts. What makes the Islamic religion, why is it so easy for them to kill an infidel, to cut his head off, to hang him, to put him in a cage and light him on fire? We look at some of these things that they do and we say, only an animal would do that. Only a monster would do that to another person. Well, I'll tell you why it's not difficult for an Islamic jihadist to do this. Remember, they take their instructions from the Quran and they believe that the Quran is the word of God. We know it's not. We know it's a false revelation. But they believe it's the word of God. And the difference between Christianity, even Judaism and Christianity share something that Islam does not. And this is why, again, we believe in the sanctity of the human person, the dignity of the human person, as Christians, Catholics, Protestants, and Jews, because it's a biblical teaching. We believe, Jews, Protestants, and Catholics believe we're made in the image of God. In Latin, we say imago Dei. We are the imago Dei, the image of God. Guess what? Islam does not believe this. They don't believe that man is made in the image of God. So remember, your doctrine, it shapes your practice. Islam doesn't believe that God has children. Follow me here. They only believe that God has slaves. So this image and likeness of God, this imago Dei, this is the fundamental idea of Western society, not Islam. Islam's view of God is that he does not vest the human person with his image. We are not imago Dei according to Islam. Islam is a religion and civilization with bloody borders that has a master-slave relationship. Islam, Muslims are slaves to God, and everybody else must be a slave to Allah and a slave and submitted to Islam. And Muslims are the ones that are supposed to carry that forth. My name is Jesse Romero. We're talking about two experts, Raymond Ibrahim, Robert Spencer, two Middle East experts specifically on Islam. And they are just giving us some good intel on things that we seem to forget because we're so focused on this Wuhan communist Chinese virus that we're forgetting that Islam right now, again, they're not going to let, just like Rahm Emanuel says, don't let a good crisis go to waste. No, Islam is not letting a good crisis go to waste. And they're still continuing their jihadist campaigns and their jihad through PR campaigns. So why do people call Islam a religion of peace? Why? Again, this is plain propaganda. This is known as jihad through PR campaigns. Every time there's an act of Islamic terrorism somewhere around the world, you get Islamic apologists like CARE, the Council of Arab International Relations. CARE runs to the media, and they begin acting as victims of mean Islamophobes. These apologists begin denying, deflecting, and obfuscating the facts that violence was committed in the name of Islam and with the authority of a verse from the Quran. Okay? Remember, Muslims are allowed to lie to us. It's called taqiyya. In Arabic, it says Muslims are permitted to lie to non-Muslims in order to advance the cause of Islam. Stick around. Don't turn that dial. If you like what you hear, like us. Hit the subscribe button.
Hands-on Apologetics, you have entered into Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo, where we go wall-to-wall with defending, explaining, sharing the faith. Master Apologist Carlo Brusara. Carlo, welcome to Hands-on Apologetics.
Hey, Gary, it's great to be back in the dojo, my friend.
Master Apologist Ken Hensley, welcome to Hands-on Apologetics.
Good to see you again, Gary. Good to be with you.
Michael Barber, welcome. You have entered into the Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo.
Gary, thanks for having me on.
We are chatting with Master Apologist Carl Keating.
Gary, it's great to be back with you.
Coming into the dojo is our good friend Steve Ray.
Thank you, Gary. Good to be here.
Tim Staples, welcome to Hands-On Apologetics.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Gary. Thanks for having me on.
Join many others in Gary Machuda's Apologetics Dojo.
We have some of the best Catholic apologists in the nation.
Streaming live weekdays from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific. Hands-on Apologetics on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Sirach 11:24 says, "Do not say, 'I am self-sufficient. What harm can come to me now?'" According to St. Catherine of Siena, presumption is like vermin burrowing at the root of the tree of our soul. If we do not uproot it with great care and humility, it will eventually destroy the soul. May God keep us from all presumption of mind and heart, and realize that we depend on Him for everything.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911 Soul Patrol. Psalm 89, forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. As Catholics, you know what? What keeps me going every day? I'll tell you what keeps me going. The resurrection of Jesus Christ and his promises. I don't keep my eyes on any man on planet Earth. My inspiration is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to see what awaits the true believer, just look at Our Lady. All the gifts and graces that the Blessed Virgin Mary received, she's received in anticipation of the final resurrection. Mary stands as the Christian icon, the Christian role model of what we can expect for us when we die. Of course, Mary will always be the chief and the queen of saints. There will never be any person that has the graces that she's received from God, the fullness of grace. But nonetheless, she stands in heaven as an icon of what we're going to receive at the final resurrection. I'm talking about Islam. So why do people call Islam a religion of peace? Again, Islam has two arms. They have the military arm, which is terrorist, and then they also have the propaganda arm in a lot of different countries. Here, it's called CARE in this country. CARE runs to the media once some terrorist activity occurs somewhere around the country, and they begin acting as victims, like, oh, you guys are hating on us. And what do they start doing? They start denying, deflecting, and obfuscating the facts that violence was committed in the name of Islam with the authority of a verse from the Quran. Jihadist terrorists are always quoting the Quran before they blow themselves up or cut somebody's head off. Islamic spokesmen are the ones that call Islam a religion of peace when they give themselves public, when they give public interviews to the mainstream media. But remember, Muslims are allowed to lie to non-believers. This is one of their doctrines. Lying, see, for us, we can't lie. That's a violation of the eighth commandment. Thou shalt not lie. It's in the Ten Commandments. Eighth commandment, you can't lie. Not in Islam. Islam is allowed to lie to advance Islam. It's called taqiyya. T-A-Q-U-I-Y-A. Taqiyya is Arabic, which means, it's a doctrine which means that Muslims are permitted to lie so long as they advance the cause of Islam. And by the way, I'm looking at the chat. People are really enjoying this show. They're enjoying all the intel that they're receiving here on Islam. Because I know a lot of Catholics, let's be honest, they're afraid to talk about this topic. They're like, oh no, I'm not going to talk about this topic. And especially a lot of the mainstream Catholic radio networks, they're not going to talk like this. Look what Maria Ramirez says. She said, Jesse, I have limited my listening to other Catholic radio. I have limited my listening to other Catholic radio and mostly listen to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I'm going to be honest with you. What you hear from Jesus 911, you're not going to hear in regular Catholic radio. You're not going to. This is not allowed. This is the stuff. These types of shows are what got me out of mainstream Catholic radio. They're saying, Jesse, you can't talk about Islam. You can't talk about the devil. You can't talk about homosexuality. It's all these topics that I consistently cover with the Bible and with sacred tradition. This is what got me off of all the radio stations. I was on all of them once upon a time. But you know what? I'd rather have a smaller, faithful audience that really wants the truth than being in a larger market where I'm censored. I don't want to be censored. I can't play that game. Let's go back to Islam. Because of taqiyya, that Muslims are allowed to lie to us, they call us infidels, non-Muslims. Muslims can say without batting an eye that their religion is the religion of peace because they believe when you kill your enemy, now you have peace. Essentially, they believe in peace through jihad. And once you kill an infidel, then you're going to have peace by conquering the world for Allah. You're going to have total peace. Now, one of the things that I have to give credit to Islam, but then I'm going to criticize them at the same time because I'm going to tell you what they pray. Muslims are told to pray five times a day. That's part of the five pillars of Islam. They're called to pray five times a day. They borrowed that from Judeo-Christianity because remember, they took their teachings from the Old Testament, the New Testament, to come up with their novel teachings in the Quran. And of course, the particular ravings of Muhammad, his visions, which I know were diabolical. Okay? Muslims pray five times a day. That's what's called for in the pillars of Islam. But what do Muslims actually pray? Do they pray for our conversion? Do they pray for peace in the world? Do they pray for you know, our spiritual, our mental, our physical health? What do Muslims pray for? Well, here's what they pray. Okay? Here's what they pray five times a day. Quote, they pray to Allah. They say, guide us to the straight path, the path of those whom you have favored. So notice they're saying that Allah favors Muslims in their prayer five times a day. They say, not of those who have incurred your wrath, nor of those who have gone astray. Close quote. So this is what they actually pray five times a day. So notice the phrase that Muslims pray five times a day. They pray this phrase, those who have incurred your wrath. That comes from the Quran, surah, that means chapter in Arabic, surah chapter 2, verse 61, which says, shame and misery were stamped upon the Israelites, and they incurred the wrath of Allah because they disbelieved Allah's signs and slew his prophets unjustly because they were rebels and transgressors. And then look at what else they pray five times a day. They pray, guide us to the straight path, the path of those whom you have favored, not of those who have incurred your wrath, nor of those who have gone astray. So that phrase that they pray, again, those who have gone astray, that comes from the Quran, chapter 4, verse 44, surah 444, which says this, consider those to whom a portion of the scriptures was given. That is Christians. They purchase error for themselves and wish to see you go astray. So notice, the only supplication in the standard Muslim prayer is asking Allah to keep the Muslim from the path of the Jews and Christians. So this is what they pray five times a day. They're asking Allah, keep us away from the wrong path of the Jew and of the Christian. And so this is the prayer recited by devout Muslims every day, five times a day. And I say this because a lot of even our priests and bishops, they want, wow, it's so beautiful what they pray five times a day. I would just ask our clergy, do you know what they pray? They're thanking God that they don't follow you, Father, Bishop, Pope. They're thanking God that they're not a Christian. That's what they're thanking God for. Their prayers are blasphemous five times a day. The fact that they got this custom of praying, that's a good thing. But what they're praying is blasphemous. And the Friday prayer that Muslims pray is even more offensive to Jews than Christians. It requires not only two recitations of Surah chapter 62, but Surah chapter 63, where it calls us, you know, in their prayer, they say the hypocrites. In Surah 62, it specifically condemns the Gentiles, us, as being in gross error, and Jews are compared with a donkey laden with books. And Surah chapter 63 of the Quran, it says, hypocrites, those who have renounced their Muslim faith, they are the enemy. Guard yourself against them. So I say this, you know, as Catholics, the only example that we should do is step up our prayer life. Maybe we should be praying five times a day, or maybe more. But the fact is, our prayers are prayed to the one true God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And their prayers, again, when you examine what they pray, it's wicked. You know how many violent verses there are in the Quran? I've told this to Muslims who call me up on radio. When I was on regular conventional radio, they'd call me up. And I'd say, how many violent verses are there in the New Testament? If you can show me one violent verse in the New Testament that tells me to kill you, a non-Christian, show me where it's at and I'll leave the Catholic Church and I'll become a Muslim. You know what I heard every time I did that challenge with Muslims? Crickets. Because there is no violent verse in the New Testament that tells us to kill non-Muslims or non-Christians. Non-Christians, excuse me. But how many violent verses are there in the Quran? 164 violent verses in the Quran that command them to jihad and to holy war and to force the non-Muslim to convert and even kill them. Hey, if you like what you hear, then like us. Hit the subscribe button and share this show with others. What are we called to be in the 20th century? We're called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity. And remember, even throughout this time that it is kind of a strange time we're living in right now. Remember, St. Padre Pio told us, pray, hope, don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful, and God will hear our prayer. If you like what you hear, once again, like us, hit the subscribe button, and share this shows with others, and stick around. Up next, we got the big guy, Gary Machuda, hands-on apologetics in the Catholic Dojo. You don't want to miss what's up next. Gary is high information Catholicism. But for us, remember, I don't care if you're 5 or 105 years old, God from all eternity chose you to be where you're at right now at this time in history. Why? To change the world. And if you're breathing, if you've got two legs, you're called to evangelize, and you're called to holiness. Let's remember that him, that battled him, that it would be, that it would be burned in our heart. Christus vinci, Christus reinat, Christus imperat. Christ conquers, Christ reigns, Christ commands. Catholic, pray the rosary every day. Make your morning spiritual communion with Jesus. Make sure before you close your eyes tonight, make a good act of contrition. God love you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.